Okay, Rabbi, so we're here on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we got up to Iboilehu. Let's see, how many lines down from the top is that? About 10. The first word of the line is Hashvach, and you'll see two dots, and then Iboilehu. So this Iboilehu, which is a suffix, is going to engage our minds for the course of the next hour. And we'll see how we can possibly understand this. Iboilehu. Yesh shvach samonim al hatzemer, o ein shvach samonim al hatzemer. Now what we have here, just in terms of the structure of the Talmud, just on a literary basis, is that the Gemara initially starts with a very abstract suffix. The Gemara doesn't tell you what are the specifics, what is the case, did somebody steal, did somebody not steal, is he chayv to pay, is he not chayv to pay. That's what the Gemara is going to flesh out over the course of the next omud, almost to the bottom of the omud. But at this point, all we have is sort of like the abstract suffix. Now, in order to understand just the abstract suffix, let's introduce a very key term, and that's called be'en. The word be'en means something that's tangible. For example, last year you may remember we learned chulin, and when Iser falls into heter, so one of the main questions is whether that Iser is be'en or not. If it's be'en, then you don't apply bitl, you suspend bitl, because you have to get rid of the be'en. The be'en means it's tangible, you can see it, you can touch it, you can feel it, you know where it is.
It's apparent.
If it's not be'en, then we apply the principle of bitl, which means that all you're left with is the tam of the isur, and then the tam could be bata, whether it's bitl baro, bitl b'shishim, etc., etc. Now, what you have here in the case of Semer and Samonim is the following. You begin initially with two objects. Each one is Be'en. The Semer, the wool, is Be'en. It's tangible. It's a physical object. And the Samonim, the herbs from which you're going to make a dye, that also is an object that's Be'en. So you have two Be'ens, and everything is clear. But what happens is that as soon as the wool is subjected to the process of dyeing, now what happens is that the value of the samonim, if you isolate, let's say samonim on the market, when a person buys samonim on the market, he's not buying it because he wants to eat it for dinner that night. His wife is not going to serve it as a side dish. He's buying it because of the dye content in the samamonim. In this case, what happens after you've already processed the samamonim, you've removed the dye is now inside the tzemer. The tzemer has now absorbed the dye. So is the samamonim, in terms of its monetary value, is it still be'en? Again, you may have some samamonim left, but nobody's buying that. That's not worth anything.
It's
Eisgespielt, right? What's worth something is the dye itself, but the dye itself, lechora, is not the end. It's not something that you can point to. It's not tangible. It's already. What do you say?
You can't get it back, right?
Well, that's
what we're going to see as the sugya goes on. Can you get it back? Meaning, if I return, the Gemara is going to have a svara that if I return the wool to you, again, this will have to wait till we get to this, Michael, but if I return the wool to you, then I'm returning the dye to you, because again, the essence of the dye is its color, and the color is there inside the wool. So possibly, when I return the wool to you, I'm really returning the dye to you. When I say the dye, I mean the dye of the samamonim, not the samamonim themselves. But in any event, that's futuristic. We're not ready for that svara yet.
But even that is not ba'en, is it?
Who?
That's not Ba'ei. When you return the wool that's got the dye in it, what you can't, it's not Ba'ei. The white dye is not Ba'ei, is it?
Well, it is Ba'ei, and I'll tell you why. If you take a look at Rashi, you see where Rashi says, you see where Rashi is about 15 lines down from the top. Rashi says, Yesh Shvach Samonim Al Gabi Tzemer, and that's called Dechazusa Milsahi. You might want to underline those three words. Now, the principle of Chazusa Milsahi, which we'll try to translate in a minute, is borrowed from Hilchos Zeroyim. Now, I don't know how many people here, you know, yesterday, the other day, we tried our hand at Kelayim. We didn't get too far. So Zeroyim is a little bit complicated. But in Hilchos Zeroyim, specifically in Shvius or in Arla, there's something called Chazusa Milsa. And Chazusa Milsa really means that the color that is derived from something, like let's say for example I take klipe arla, right? Those are the peels around the fruit that's arla in the first few years of its growth, right? So those peels have a certain dye in it, and if I take out that dye and I put it into something else, so there's a principle in halacha called chazusa milsa, which means that the object that has absorbed that dye, even though again the dye is not tangible, but since chazusa does have a definite complexion, right, a color, that itself makes this object that's absorbed the dye of klipe arla into arla. Or for example, in Shvius, where there's an iser of schora, you're not allowed to sell pairs of Shvius, if I take pairs of Shvius that have a dye to it, I extract that dye, and now other peros, which were not shvius, were not sanctified with shvius, they absorb that dye. It's considered al pidin as if the original shvius is still here in front of me in a different form. Now the new entity of shvius emerges, and that entity of shvius did not grow during the seventh year; it grew during the sixth year. But nevertheless, it has kedusha shvius because of the principle of chazusa milsahi. All I'm trying to show you is that the halacha works and operates with its own principle. So you and I might say, well, if I give you back the tzemer, I'm not giving you back the sum of money. But Rashi is saying no, because there's a principle called chazusa milsa. Therefore, we view the tzemer as if it itself has the properties of the sum of money. So even though you don't see the Samamonim, but since you see the dye that was extracted from the Samamonim, which for our purposes is the essence of the Samamonim, at least on a financial market basis, that dye has now been absorbed by the Tzemer, and it's a reality. Maybe it's not a physical reality, right? Where are the Samamonim? But it's a halachic reality. Why? Because of the principle of Chazusa Milsa. And that's the first side in the Gemara. The Gemara calls that Yesh Shvach Samonim al tzemer. And Rashi says that what does it mean Yesh Shvach Samonim al tzemer? I mean, is the Gemara telling you that the value of the tzemer went up and it appreciated in the market as a result of the absorption of the dye? I mean, that's definitely true, but nobody would question that. And the Gemara is going to have another tzad to say, no, ain't shvach Samonim al tzemer. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, we know clearly there's a facts on the ground that a dyed wool, you know, as opposed to natural wool, is worth more on the market. So what does the Gemara mean? Yesh shvach or ein shvach? Of course there's a shvach. So Rashi says, no. What we're talking about is whether or not the wool that's absorbed the dye now is, so to speak, hosting the samamonim. Again, even though it's not the end, but the Gemara has the first side to say, yesh shvach samamonim bid. Bitzemer, did I get that right? Alatzemer, okay, the word Alatzemer is a little confusing here. Alatzemer means that it's been absorbed by the Tzemer. So the Tzemer now has absorbed that color, and that color really is a new representation, so to speak, you know, a resurrection of the dead being the Samamonim, they're no longer here in the physical sense, but it's considered that they're physically here, because now the Tzemer itself is hosting, if you will, the Samamonim. It's hosting the Tzeva. And that Tzeva, since it has a market value that has increased the Tzemer, let's say raw Tzemer is worth 10, dyed tzemer is worth 15, then the dye itself is in monetary terms is considered as if it exists. And therefore, even though in general I can't sue you for something that doesn't exist, let's say, for example, you would steal my airspace, I can't sue you for that. I can only sue you for damages of a be'en, but nevertheless, the Gemara thinks that the be'en of the Samamonim still exists, albeit in a different form. It's now been, you know, absorbed by the concrete object called the Tzemer. And Rashi says the only way of understanding the operation, the mechanics of that halacha, is by stretching our arm out to Hilchas Zrayim, where we have a principle called Chazusa Milsa. And Chazusa Milsa means that something that in and of itself is neutral, it's parva, it doesn't have any status of Isur or Kedusha, it's not Arla and it's not Shvias, nevertheless, once it absorbs the dye, it takes on the halacha of that original dye. So the original dye in its first form was Shvias, was Arla. Now this fruit, which is again neutral and parva, it's not Arla and it's not Shvias, takes on the status of Shvias and Arla. It means that chazusa, the color of something, its complexion, is so primary in halacha, it's so fundamental, that it resurrects the old object as if it were tangible and alive today, albeit in a different form. And that object, which has absorbed the color of the shvius or the arla, now is considered as if it is the be'en of the shvius and the arla. And the same dinim that applied to shvius now apply to something that has the chazus of shvius. Even though in and of itself, you know, the house that hosts the shvius is itself neutral. It's not shvius. Or the Gemara says, ein shvach samamonim al tzemer. Forget it. You know, the halacha is chazus alav milsin dinim avinus, at least. You know, and let's not extrapolate from the laws of Zeroyim. And if chazus alav milsahi, then where are the samamonim? They're gone. Again, keep in mind, the Gemara never questions the premise that the value of the tzemer has increased, has appreciated on the market. There is a shvach. But as far as Hilchas Be'en is concerned, I don't view the tzemer as if it is housing the original samamonim, and the samamonim are there inherent in the tzemer. No, the samamonim are gone. What is chazusa? Chazusa is something totally abstract. It's totally intangible, and therefore the halacha cannot recognize the status of that die. The die is die. You know, two different spellings, but the die is die. So now, having presented the abstract question, what, give it a, you know, we say in Hebrew, talbishitza, you know, put some garments on it. You know, give it some flesh and blood. Are we talking about Dini Mazik? Are we talking about Dini Gzela? Are we talking about the Heshiv Sagzela Shagazal? Are we talking about Kinyan Shinui? You know, the Gemara is going to go through so many different possible variations of what the essence of the Suffolk is. Hechi Dom. Ilema. If we're talking about pure Gzela, and what happened over here? The Gazal Samonim. Okay? He stole Samonim. So Rabosai, did he steal Tzemer? No, it doesn't say a word about stealing Tzemer. So we're not even up to that yet. You know, you and I might think, well, I stole from you Tzemer and Samonim, and now I can't return the Samonim, but I have to return the Tzemer. Is the returning of the Tzemer considered as if I return your Samonim? Because of Yesh Chazus of Milsa, you know, that could have been very logical. But at this point in the development of the Sugi, the Gemara is not even entertaining the possibility that he stole Tzemer. He stole Samamonim. And what did he do with the Samamonim? He created a die out of the Samamonim. So what's that called? So I just want to tell you the Hebrew words, the key Hebrew words for this process. Number one, it's called Shechika. And you may know this from Hilchos Shabbos. Have you ever heard the phrase Shechika Samamonim? Right? Which I think in English is pounding. Remember they used to have that mortar and a pestle? Is that what it's called? Whatever it's called. And they took the Samamonim, they put it into this mortar and pestle, and the chemists would have a blast with that, and that's how they produced medicines. To this day, I mean, now it's much more sophisticated, but they still have Shechika Samamonim, even today. Although some people want to be matir taking medicines on Shabbos, saying we don't have Shechika Samamonim. But in truth, we do, although in a different form. So that's the first stage in the process of converting samamonim into dai. But it's not enough just to take these samamonim and crush them, which would be called meleches tchino or tochen on Shabbos, right? Grinding them. You need a second process, and that's called shriya b'mayim. Okay, and Rashi is going to go through this in the words of the Gemara, ilema degozal samamonim vidakinu, which means to pound them, convert them into some sort of a powder form, utaranhu. Taranu, you know, very often the tough in Aramaic replaces a shin in Hebrew. Like, for example, you know, the siman ledavar, if you want to remember that, is tlas, right? Because in Hebrew it's shalosh, and in Aramaic it's tlas. The Arabs, you know, also took it from the Aramaic, right? The number three in Arabic is talsa, or they pronounce it a little differently, but again, it comes from the Aramaic, tlas. So the shin is replaced by... So if you take the... If you take the shin here and put it back in its original place, then you have sharinhu. Sharinhu means to soak it. So you take these crushed, you know, herbs, and then after you grind them and crush them, you soak them in water. Oh. So now, if he stole... Now, Rabosai, the whole discussion now, at this point, in Hechi Dami number one, is about the chiyuv of the gazlan vis-a-vis samamonim. Okay, forget that tzemer. Leave tzemer out at this point. Let's just focus and isolate our discussion, our attention, onto samamonim. So the Gemara asks the following question. What are you telling me? You have doubts whether or not the gazlan has to pay for samamonim. Again, let's say samamonim on the market are worth five. Yeah, that's the price of the samamonim that he stole, the market price. Later on we'll see, did the market price go down and so forth. But right now, the market price is we'll call it five zoos. Okay? You could buy a couple of goats for that, right? Yeah. And does the gazan have to pay for the samamonim? Well, let me ask you a question. What happens if a gazlan steals something in a particular form, right? The object has a particular form to it, and then he changes the form of the object. The object is no longer noticeable as it was in its original form. What's that called, Rav Mosai? Correct, that's the sugya daf Sadi Gimel. That's the famous sugya of gazlan kona b'shinu. So the Gemara says the following. Even if I'll argue that the samamonim are gone, their history, because he took samamonim and he grinds them up and convert and soaks them in water and creates this dye, and therefore, you know, the pasuk of Heishev v'sagzela shargazal cannot apply anymore. In other words, the nigzal can no longer sue the gazlan and force him to cough up the samamonim because samamonim ain't in existence. They're gone. They're history. Nevertheless, we have halacha that mishalmim kol hagazlonim mishalmim kishas hagzela. That's the first mission in our perek, which means that when a gazlan is kona b'shinui, we freeze the price, that the value, the market value of the object at the time of the gzela, and that's exactly the price that he has to pay. And therefore, even if the samamonim are not considered be'en, which, if you remember, was one side of the Gemara, the second side, Ein Shvach Samamonim al Tzemer. Even if I would grant you that premise, it would still be totally irrelevant to the case of Gazal Samamonim, because there's no question in anyone's mind that the Gazlan in the case of stealing Samamonim would have to pay the value, the five zuz that the Samamonim are worth. And that's what the Gemara calls Taper Klei Mishum De Kaninhu B'Shinui. We can force him to pay because at the time that he took these samamonim and crushed them, he was kona the samamonim b'shinui, and therefore he becomes chayav through the law of shinui to pay kishas hagzela, and he has to return the most, the five zuzim, the value of the samamonim. So at this point, we still don't understand what are you vacillating about? What was your suffering? Lo tzrich. Says the Gemara, we're going to have to jump a little bit forward. And we're going to have to assume that he didn't steal samamonim in the original natural form. But we're going to circumvent the issue of shinui because he stole the dye. Meaning, in the backyard of the Nigzal, the process of taking these samamonim and crushing them and then soaking them had already taken place. So you've got soaked samamonim. Now, what happens to that liquid? What's the function of that liquid now that you've crushed the samamonim and you've soaked them in that liquid? That liquid is called what?
A dye.
A dye. That's called tseva. So now what he stole was actually tseva. And if that be the case, then you cannot tell me that the Gazlan was Kona B'Shinui. He hasn't done any Shinui. Ah. Well, has he done a Shinui? Look at the next line in the Gemara. The next two words of the Gemara say, Vitzava Bahu. Again, he didn't steal the wool. He only stole the samamonim. We're not ready for the case later on that he stole both the samamonim and the wool. He only stole samamonim, but he didn't steal the original samamonim in their natural state, but he stole the dye, and then he took his own wool and he dyed his wool with this samamonim shruya, with the liquid dye. Okay, so fine. So let's assume at this point there's no kinyan shinu. Okay, we'll have to see exactly about that in just a minute. But if you grant me for the time being this premise that he wasn't kona b'shinui, so my, now we can understand the suffix. Why we understand the suffix? Yesh shvach samonim al gabi tzemer. If we assume that, as Rashi said before, the tzemer is now hosting the samamonim as a tzeva, right? The tzeva is there. It's be'en. It's be'en, albeit in a different form, but it's still tangible, namely in the form of wool. Okay, so what happens now? I don't know. I could go in one of two directions before I see the next line of the Gemara. Either the Gemara is about to tell me that since the samamonim are still in existence, therefore the Nigzal has rights to claim them, or alternatively, maybe the Gemara is telling me that since the samamonim are in their original existence, the Gazlan has a right to say to the Nigzal, take your samamonim and pack out. Let's see how the Gemara evolves. So the Gemara says, the Amar Lei, the Nigzal has a right to say to the Gazlan, Havli samonai deshaklesinu. You took from me samamonim, correct? Albeit in the state of tseva. You didn't change them, and they still exist because of the halacha of yeshvach samamonim al gabi tsemer. So then, if the samamonim still exist, it's your headache to return those samamonim.
To return them.
Again, how does he return the samamonim? That we're going to see later on. The Gemara has a secret here. It's called Safun, which is somehow magically he's going to return the samamonim. But be that as it may, if the samamonim still exists, then the Nigzal, has rights to say, well, if it's in the world, I want it back. Again, how to get it back and how to extract it from the tzemer, that's going to be a headache. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Here's the other side of the suffix. Ein shvach samonim al gabi tzemer. It means the dye is no longer tangible. It's no longer be'en. The amar lei, and therefore the Gazan has a right to say to the Nigzal, les lach kaboy v'lo midi. I'm not holding on to your samamonim. I don't expect that you have a claim. I don't grant you the luxury of having a claim against me to demand the return of your samamonim, because the samamonim are not to be found. They don't exist anymore. In other words, there's no claim of dini mominus on something that's not be'en. It's like claiming airspace. I can't sue you for airspace. Now, Rabosai, this Gemara at this point is difficult for two reasons. Reason number one is, well, I don't get it. If you're telling me Ein Shvach Samamonim al Gabi Etzemer, that means he took the Samamonim and they no longer exist. Why isn't that called shinui? What happened to the halacha of gazel kodesh b'shinui? The Gemara itself was aware of the halacha of gazel kodesh b'shinui. That's why the Gemara objected in the first round and said, well, if you stole pure, natural samamonim, and then you convert it into a dye, then you, the gazan, have to pay kishasak zelim yidin shinui. So what happened now? Now he stole the dye itself, after the samamonim were processed. He took the dye, and he used it to color his tzemer. And the Gemara is now saying, ein shvach samamonim b'tzemer. No, if ein samamonim b'tzemer, so then the samamonim are gone, right? The dye is gone, it's history. Right, it's history, like the genie, right? Yeah. And that's why the Gazlan says to the Nigzal, my friend, you have no claim, because what are you claiming? You're claiming the dye? The dye is gone. So what happened to the halach of sheep? That's question number one. And question number two is, leave out the halach of shinui. The man stole some of money, correct? So, in terms of Hashavas HaGzela, the Nigzal has no claim because there's no Gzela to get back, right? But what about a Mazik? If, let's say, I came and I destroyed your object and it no longer exists. So you have a right to claim, you want payment to be reimbursed for the object that I destroyed. And so forget about Dina Gzela. So there's no Hashavas HaGzela Shargosa. But what about the Parash of Mazik? I took your Samimonim and virtually destroyed them. The sum of money, the dye, no longer exists in the world. Again, for me it exists, because I now have a dyed wool that's worth twice the price of raw wool, but that's not going to make your bed any warmer. So if you want to claim mazik, so why don't I have to pay for damages on the sum of money? So as far as the first question is concerned, the Pnei Yoshua asks his kasha, and I'll read to you his answer. He says that Ma Baila, I'm just reading his question again, Ma Baila Bakasha Shagazal Samamonim Shruyim, that he took the processed Samamonim, Mikomakom, Etzamatzviya, when he gets rid of this dye by having them absorbed in the wool, Techashiv Shinu. The Alkarchach Tzarech Lomar, he says, this is a mathematical conclusion that I have to derive from this Gemara. I never would have anticipated this, says the Pnei Yeshua. Ein atzviya nechsheva shinui. In other words, when I take the physical object and I grind it and I soak it, that's called a shinui. But tzviya is not called a shinui. How could that be? How could the Pnei Yeshua make such a statement that tzviya is not a shinui? Again, I have dye. That's a physical object. Now I use it to color my wool. I no longer have that physical object. So that's not a shinui. Look, hey, shinui, God will be said. What do you mean? I understand where the issue is coming from. He's got this mathematical conclusion that he says must underlie the Gemara's premise. This must be the Gemara's underlying premise. But why is it not a shinui?
Well, if you were just loyal, if you would take the dye, and you still have it, and you're loyal delad lifneil, and you lost the key or whatever else, you can't get in. Is that the code of a shinui? There's no shinui.
Right, because because it still exists. Yeah, but now it doesn't exist.
The wall.
No, but the Gemara is holding now that Ein Shvach. Ein Shvach, Samen Monim B'Tzemen, correct?
All right.
Is that the Gemara's language? Let me just make sure. Yeah, Ein Shvach, Samen Monim Al Gavi Tzemen. Right, that why doesn't the Nigzal have rights to get back his Samen Monim? Because they're not here. They're not Be'en. So if they're not be'en, so let's be mechayev and b'toras mazik. And not only that, even b'toras gazan he should be chayev, because he made a shinui. Before there was some amonim, now there are no some amonim. So comes along Rabbi Meir Simcha Midvinsk, and he says the following, I'll read to his language. He says, Ein ha-tzviya nechsheves shinui, l'gabe ha-tzeva, kevon shezeu kiyumo, Shalat Semer Litzvah Bahen. So Rav Moshe, again, I'm going to tell you what I think he's saying, and I'm probably dead wrong. But let me try to, give you my understanding of what I think he should be saying, or he might be saying, okay? What I think he's saying is the following. A new definition of shinui. Shinui means a relationship between the original object and what happened as a result of the Shin, the end product, the end result. We have to compare the two. If you have an object, and that object is not omed l'shinui, meaning it's meant to be valuable and usable, functional as is, correct? And you change it in another way, and I don't care whether you improve it or you ruin it, that's not my issue, but you've made a serious change. I could have used the object as is. It has a significant meaning and function in its original form. You change that form, and now it functions in a whole different capacity. That's called the Shin. He says the Ar Sameach. But if you have an object that's designated for that Shinui, it's Omed L'Shinui. The only thing that you can do with it, in the case of Tseva, is to die with it. Otherwise, the die itself is going to just get fashold, you know, it'll pass on from this world of die of old age. It has no kiyum to it. The whole kiyum of the object is through that shiva.
You're talking about creating the die?
No. He stole die that was already created. Good. Remember?
Right.
In the original case, he literally changed the samamadin structurally. Yeah. In the second case, he just used the die itself to color his wool. Says the Ar Sameach, that's not called shiva. Why? So I'm trying to suggest, again, the Ar Sameach is not crystal clear on this, and I wouldn't give him an A+ in pedagogy here, I don't think, unless I'm dumb. But he doesn't really explain himself. He just says that what is this die designated for? What do you use it for? A die has only one function, and that's to die. Whether it dies wool, or it dies paper, or a table, or whatever it dies. But it's got to die something, otherwise it's going to die D-I-E. It has no kiyum to it, it has no essence to it, unless you use it as a die. That's not called shiva. And this is a radical chiddush, because even though I've completely changed the structure of the object, in fact, I think after the Gemara says that the object is gone, but nevertheless, since I use the object for that which it was singled out, it was designated, it's omed l'shinui, that's not called a shinui. So I think the radical chiddush here of the Ar Sameach is that I take a look at the original object and I looked at its end result and I have to compare the two. And if the object in its original form has some sort of meaningful function, and now you've changed its function, even if you upgraded it, that's called a shinui. But if, on the other hand, the object in its original form has only one particular function, then if you implement that function, if you make it into from theory into reality, that's not called shiva. That's point number one. Now we get to the more difficult question. Why does the Gemara think that he's not chayav b'toras masik? So I think, again, this is just Berzon's, because I don't find anybody here on the page who discusses it. I think that the halach of mazik could only apply when the intention, I don't mean the human intention, I mean the intention inherent in the action. You know, every action has an intention. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Ksubas, if you throw a stone and it's going to hit someone and kill that person by force, that's called kavanas ritzicha. It doesn't matter what he had in mind. We're not going to do a psychological study, but the zrika itself has within it inherently a kavanas ritzicha. Again, I'm just trying to oversimplify a very complicated concept. Mazik means that the action itself is destructive. In other words, the machayev of mazik is what we call a maisa hezik begufo shel chefetz. And a maisa hezik begufo shel chefetz is absolutely antithetical to taking dye and using it to color a piece of wool. Coloring a piece of wool with a dye is not a maisa hezik. And the epitaurus mazik, he wouldn't be chai.
Why is that true? It is a maisa hezik legabi the dye. It's a maisa shelach legabi, etc.
In other words, when I look at the action objectively, correct?
Yeah.
And I ask myself, is this ultimately constructive? Have I added something to the world? Have I subtracted something from the world? The answer is that the total mixture of a dye with wool is worth more than dye and wool.
Yeah,
so by combining two objects, A plus B, to create something that's worth more than A itself and B itself, right? In other words, X plus Y is less than Z.
Yeah, but that's not the
that's way, not called the mas.
That's not the way to look at it in terms of a hezek for a die, because the die, when I had it before, was usable. It is now not usable.
Yeah, but again, listen to my definition, and if you have a sugya, if you have a sugya as a raya against me, then I'll have to backtrack. But this is the best I can do. A maisa hezek that generates chiyuvei nezikin has to mean anything but x plus y is greater than the sum of x plus y. If z is greater than x itself and y, that means 1 plus 2 equals 5, that's not called a maisa hezek. In other words, I don't isolate any particular object. I look at the whole picture, and in terms of the whole picture, I have a benefit here. A beneficial action is not called an action of destruction.
So if
you have a kasha, then not
around. If you steal my Gemara,
then maybe sugyas that I don't know.
You take my Gemara and you use it, and because Reberson is on
a high. Well, no, I'm talking in financial terms. You know, I'm talking about using an object in a way that it enhances the value of the final product. That's not called a maisehes.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Let's see how the sugya develops. The Gemara says the following: Amri, I can't accept your presentation of this suffix. Why? The e ain shvach. Samonim al gabi tzemer. Mi motzi omerle leslach gaboy velomidi. If we're going to assume that the die is completely gone, that's called ein shvach samonim al gabi tzemer. There's no be'en. How does the gazlan have the right to say, I'm not going to pay you for this because I'm not holding on to your object? Nemole havli samoni. Samonai the afsidinu. Okay, let me try to do the best I can here. This is a challenge, but I'm going to try my best. The Gemara thinks in the Havamina, and I'll tell you why the Gemara rejects it, is that the Chiyuv Hashava, the Torah says Ve'eshev is Agzela Shargaza, is a result of the Chefetz. The chefetz itself, that's stolen, the stolen object, engenders a chiyuv of a heishiv v'sagzeilah shargos. So the Gemara holds that if ein shvach samonim al gabi tzemer, then there's no chefetz. Where in the world can I find this die? The answer is I can't. It's not be'en. If it's not be'en, then there's no chiyuv hashava, because the chiyuv hashava is engendered by the chefetz itself. The chefetz doesn't exist. So the Gemara rejects. Why? Says the Gemara that there's a difference between Gneva and Gzela. Your logic would be correct in Gneva. In Gneva, everything depends upon the object. A Ganav is someone who goes into the Rishus of the Bailim and he takes out the object from the Rishus of the Bailim. That's called Hotzah. Hotzah Sachefetz Rishus Hanigna. That's Gneva. And in such a case, since the Machayev is the act of Gneva on this particular object, then any responsibility, any liability that is a result of that Gneva has to be related to the Chefetz HaNigzal. Says the Gemara, that's correct in Gneva, but it's not correct in Gzela. When the Torah says that Yechayev Gzela, the Torah doesn't mean that you're chayav because you're holding on to the object of the nigzal. Oh no, that's not what it means. That again, that could be correct for gneva, but not for gzela. In gzela, you're chayav for the hefseg mamon, and the hefseg mamon in the case of samamonim is adarava. If ein shvach samamonim al gabi tzemer, then there's a total loss from the perspective of the owner of the samamonim of the object, meaning the samamonim, and its value. It's totally gone for this world. Says the Gemara, does that give the Gazan a right to say, I'm not gonna fulfill my obligation of Ahishma like Zale because the object is not in existence? No. The Gemara says, I reject that. Why? Because the Machayev, the Sibas Achiyuv, in the case of a Gazlan, is the Hefseh that he caused to the Nigzal. Has nothing to do with the Mice and the Chefetz. The Mice and the Chefetz is just, in other words, I'll tell you the truth. If I could cause you a hefseid in a way that I cause the object to leave your possession without a maisa gzela, I would still be chayav. That's the pillar of a chiddush in gzeila. Let me give you a case. What would be a case where in hilchas gneiva I'd be potur, but in hilchas gzeila I'd be chayv? Alan, can you come up with a case?
I think so. If I stole stocks from you.
I see. You mean because it's only abstract.
The price has gone up.
So that's not the case that I had won. You know, back in the Gemara's time, I don't know if they knew that much about stock.
Well, it doesn't have to be with that.
Talking in a sugya. There's a sugya sagamari. You know, let's go back in a time machine 16 and a half centuries ago, whatever.
It doesn't matter. You can take any object.
So what's the case? Wait, listen carefully. What's the case? The case is where your animal roams into my backyard. And then I lock the door.
Right.
So the Gemara says in Hilchas Gneiva and Pot. Why? Because I didn't take the animal out of your rishus. But in Hilchas Gzeilam Chai. Why? Because the very moment I make it inaccessible to you, you suffer a financial loss. And that hefsid itself is considered Gzeila. And therefore the Gemara has a special pasuk in Gzeila Ainli, Elo Das, Elo Afilu Gago, Chatzero, Mekarfifo, Minayin, that there's a separate halacha that if your object is in my chatzer or in my karpif, and I lock it down, that itself is considered Gzeila. Why? Because what's the Mechayev of Gzeila? Not the physical object that I'm holding on to that I stole from you. That would be appropriate for Gneiva, but in Gzeila, I'm chai for the Hefseid Mamon. So the Gemara says the following: even if I grant you that ain't shvach some amonim al gabi tzemer, mi matzis amalei. How could the Gazlan say to the Nigzal less lech loch gaboy lo midi? The object, meaning the some amonim in this case, the die is completely gone. It's history. Name olei the Nigzal. Again, I emphasize the word Nigzal because we're not talking about Nignam. Is name olei havli some amonim di? Afsidinhu. What's the key word, Rabbosa? The secret of the Gemara lies in that one word, afsidinhu. You misunderstood the whole Machayev of Vaishav's Agzela Shargazal. You thought Vaishav's Agzela Shargazal is totally focused on the Chayfetz. It's not totally on the Chayfetz. The Chayfetz is only representative of something abstract, namely its value. You took and caused me a loss on the value. You know, if the accountant, you know, was making an asset report, you know, for tax purposes, you know, what's your total assets? Well, you'd have to subtract the sum of money from my total assets because my sum of money no longer exists, and therefore, if you cause me this loss of through your gzela of taking my sum of money in such a way that my sum of money are no longer, you know, usable, they're no longer worth anything for me, they're gone. Ain't shvach. You return, you know, again, later on the Gemara is going to say, well, maybe he'll return the tzemer. Okay, fine. But he didn't steal the tzemer at this time, right? Whose tzemer was it at this point in the Gemara? Let's not confuse it. You know, I'm already getting confused here because I'm already anticipating the next possibility. Right? But right now, the tzemer at this point in the sugi belongs to the gazlan. Now, if the tzemer belongs to the gazlan, then when the gazlan cannot possibly return the sum of money by giving back the tzemer, belongs to the gazlan. It always belonged to the gazlan from Sheshis Mebrashis. The only thing is, can he return the sum of money? So the Gemara thinks, well, if he can't return the sum of money, then there's no machayev and there's no claim that the Nigzal has against the gazlan. Says the Gemara, no, the claim is not based on the sum of money. It's not the Hefta Nigzal. The Mechayev here is the Hefseid. And since there's a Hefseid, you have to pay for that Hefseid. That's the way Gazlan works. And therefore, at this point in the Gemara, we don't understand the original Suffolk. You're going to have to change the facts on the ground, the variables here, in order to justify what the Bnei HaYeshiva were vacillating about. Because again, if he stole Samamonim, I couldn't care less whether he stole the original Samamonim in that natural state and he was Kona Midin Shinui, or he stole Seva, which the Arsameh claims is not subject to Shinui, he still has to pay for the Samamonim, even if Ein Shvach. Why? Because of afsidinu. Because since, as a result of this act of gzela, he caused them to have seen mamon, He's got to pay the Heshiv. Now we reformulate the Torah. Not the Heshiv is like Zela Asher Gozel. The Heshiv es HaHefseid Asher Hifseid.
Rabbi, does it have to be a Hefseid of money? Does it have to be Mafseid of money? In other words,
I think the word Hefseid should be taken literally.
What I'm asking is, in other words, is the essence of Gzela being Mafseid Mamon, or is the essence of Gzela that he dazzled his bilus over it? Is his bilus is what he's going on?
Right now, I'm working with Hefseid. Alan, you want to say your own shtickl Torah? Please do. But right now, you know, halavai. We should understand Hefseid.
No, how is this different than calling it Hefseid than calling it Hezek?
Correct. That's a good point. The answer is like this. In terms of Mazik, again, Mitch, I can't force you to accept this. You know, there's no religious coercion here. In terms of Mazik, when you take two objects and put them together, even if one object disappears off the face of the earth, that's not called a Maisa Hezek.
But it is Mafseid.
It's Hefseid, but what I'm suggesting is that Mazik like Ganov, not like Gazlan, is Chayim for a Maisa Hezek. If there's no Maisa Haraya, we reject Rabbi Meir at this point. Rabbi Meir says that you're Chayim for Garmi.
Yeah.
Why do? And it could be Rabbo saying that even Rabbi Meir holds you're not Chayim for Garmi. It's like the whole thing is a knas. You know, yeah, we have to go through all the Rishonim on that. But fundamentally, the Gemara thinks that that Grumman and Ezekiel Potter, Rabbo Yisai. What's the difference between Grumman and Ezekiel and Mazik Mamish? In both cases, the same identical Hefseid. The answer is that the Mechayiv of the Ezekiel is the Maisa Hezek. And we saw the same thing by Ganav. If the Ganav goes into your Rishus and takes out your animal, that's called a Maisa Gneva. In the absence of a Maisa Gneva, I could have caused you a tremendous loss, but I'm not culpable. I'm not liable for that. That's the way the Halacha operates. Not so in the case of Gazlan. And therefore the Gemara thinks that the only way that we can clear the path here and understand what the Bnei Yeshiva were vacillating about is if we operate with Dine Gzela. But the only problem is if we operate with that new definition of Gzela, namely the Gazlan is Chai Meshav is Hefseid Asher Hifseid, then who cares? Either of them, if the die is gone, because Ein Shvach, then he should have to pay for that. See, Rabbo said, give me a few minutes, and we'll see how the story unfolds. Elo, says the Gemara, lahach gisa. You know what? Maybe I could take this suffix and turn it inside out and upside down. We call it in Yiddish, punfake. Says the Gemara, let's assume that ein shvach samamonim al gabi etzemer. Correct? Which means that the Samamonim are gone. History is Memela. What did the Nigzal suffer here? Again, what's the key word with four letters? Hefseid. And therefore, for sure, he has to pay. Adar Abba says the Gemara Punfakin. You know why I think that maybe the Gazlan is off the hook? That's because Odilma Yeshvach Samamonim al Gabi Shvach. Al Gabi Tzemer, excuse me, meaning that the Samamonim still exists, as Rashi said before, Chazusa Milsahi. That's going to lead me to the, paradoxically, to the opposite position, that maybe the Gazan is off the hook. Why is the Gazan off the hook? Amale, the Gazan has a right to say to the Nigzal, since your Samamonim still exists, albeit in a different form, Hamanchi Kamach. Here they are. The Samamonim still exist. Where are they? Where's the bed? In the tzemer. Nu, shaklinu. Come and take him back.
So he does. Comes and takes the tzemer.
So what exactly happens at this point? So Rabosai, to understand this piece of Gemara, we have to remind ourselves of a sugya, which Tosus quotes here on the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph from Daf Tzadi Ches. The trouble is that we learn so slowly that Daf Tzadi Ches, which is 2 blot ago, seems like something we learned about 2 months ago. And who remembers what we learned 2 months ago? But remember the case of a Gazlan who throws someone's coin down to the bottom of the sea. And he has a right to say to the Nigzal, Harashal Cholofanecha, the object is still intact. Go down to the sea, to the bottom of the sea, you know, get your, what's that gear called, the scuba diving gear, and go dig up your dinar, your selah, it's at the bottom of the sea. Don't you see it? So since Chazusa Milsa, don't you see your Samamonim? Yeah, you see it. in the tzemer. It's inherent in the tzemer. The tzemer is the host that's carrying or hosting the salamon in the tzemer. Go take it. How do you take it? So we're going to soon see that there's a very expensive process by which, like the scuba diving case, you can actually extract the dye from the wool. So Tosus here, Dibra Maskil Hamanchi Kamach Shaklinu, says Tosus, Mikomakom Agra Boile Mesa. When you pay for scuba diving, that's going to cost you a pretty buck. So the Gazlan has to pay for the scuba diving. He doesn't have to pay for the coin itself. Now let's hope that the price that the, you know, when you hire scuba divers is less than the value of the seller. I don't know. Let's just to make life easy for ourselves, let's grant that premise. Can you give me that poetic license, Alan? I know it's with you, it's always put up in dukes, right? But in this case, if you can grant me this premise, right? Alan and I know each other, so we can exchange. You know, I wouldn't say this to you, Michael, but
he's
I can say
he's
that.
He's not feeling well, so he's not in a mood for a fight.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So he'll concede to you.
Right, only because it's not feeling.
I'm beyond
I lucked out here, Alan. Right?
Worse than was stolen.
I lucked out. Okay, fine. But no, seriously, let's assume that the seller, I forgot how many dinar of a seller, 24, I forgot the numbers, I used to have a chart for this, okay, fine. But anyway, a seller is a lot of money, and it's at the bottom of the sea. The scuba diving cost me a dinar, you know, which is a fraction, and that's what the Gazlan's going to pay, and that's Geendik de Meister. So too here, Testosis, is going to be a process by which we hire a professional, he's going to use the right chemicals to remove, it's called Borit, in Hebrew. Have you ever heard of it? I don't know what it is in English, don't ask me. But anyway, he's going to, you know, chemically remove the dye from the tzemer, and the Gazlan's going to pay for that. However,
it's borax.
Borax. But he doesn't have to pay for the dye itself. Right. Let's say the dye is worth more than what you pay this chemist, I hope. He doesn't have to pay for the dye. Why? Because yeshmach someone in the tzemer. It's so cool the way the Gemara moves in opposite directions. Until now, we've been assuming if Yeshvach Eitzu, if Yeshvach, what's called Samamon B'Tzemer, then Adarabba, then the Gazlan is Chayav, because the, you know, you got to fulfill the Eishav's Akzela, the object is there. No, now we're saying Pufakir. Since the object is there, he has a right to say, Kach Volech. The only thing is, Tosus adds a stipulation here, proviso. He's got to pay the damage, you know, he has to pay the fee and the wage for recovery. Correct. Now, Rabosai, in the back of the Masifta,
won't recover the dye, will it?
So that's what we're going to see in a minute, Michael. That's going to be the next piece of Gemara. But I just want to point out, before we get to that, that the Masifta has something called Biurei HaTosus.
Right.
And the truth is, I have no clue what he's saying over here. If anybody, you know, I just want to point out to you that this is like an editorial comment on the Masifta. He writes, Hagmara Mistapekes, this is his comment on Homanchi Kamoch, correct? The top toasters. He writes, Hagmara Mistapekes, Gabi Agozo Mechavero Tzemer, Visamamane Tzemer. Visamamane Tzemer.
That's not the case we're talking.
Where did he get such a thing? That hasn't come up yet in the sugya. I don't understand. I think, you know, if I had the chutzpah, I would rip this out. But you know the famous Rugachova, that you know, somebody saw the Rugachova ripping out an achron. You know, he just was so upset by what the achron wrote. He just, out of anger, he just ripped out the page. So they asked him, Rebbe, but what about the other side of the page? So he said, Oyla Rosha, Oyla Shreya. This is a true story, by the way. Well, only by the Rugachev, I mean. Anyway, he says, Mikomakom inema diyochal agazel litolo haresam amonim lefanecha. If the Gazan has the rights to say, here, take you some amonim and pick him up and go, he says, Eno chayev lahoshvis esatseva. Why? Because he has a right to say to him, you take the tzeva and fly your kite. But agra boile mesiv, mikol makom, he says, nevertheless, he has to pay the wages for that. And he writes at the end of this paragraph, im sela nimtza mok, u tzrichim odom shiyodeh litzlol b'mayim kidei lahotzio, tzorech hazorek l'shalim kifisha ole l'skar odom kezeh finami Hachi tzorach hagazel l'shalem masha ola lahafrid es hatzemer es hatzeva me hatzemer. So again, that part we got, and he's 100% right. But what he says at the beginning, I don't know. I just wanted to point that out to you because... okay. Now here at Bosai, we have the following... Okay, the following possibility. The Gemara says the following. And this was Michael's question. Shaklinu? Question mark? Come and take your tseva? Then my shakle.
I can't unscramble an egg.
Can't unscramble an egg. Excellent. So the Gemara says with Sofon. Sofon, he says, is called Borit. What did you call it again, Alan?
It's
Borax.
Okay.
The Steinzel says it's Sabon. What does Steinzel say? Ooh, yeah, you know, he had a very serious
stroke.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
Sabon. Sabon is soap. So Borit is like a detergent.
Yeah, it's a detergent. Yeah, so I don't know if it's
Borax is a detergent.
Okay, good. I wouldn't mess with Borax. It's probably very, it could probably rip a hole in you, though, or something. But anyway.
No, it's actually not harsh.
It's not so harsh? Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Sofon abure mi aber. He says that it may be true, I may be able to grant you that if you use this boris, you know, be, you know, we use it, I think, for like if you have a ring around the collar, I think, you know, before you put it in the machine, you know what I'm talking about? You use that pumice stone or whatever they call it to. He says, Haboris bekocha lahasir satseva me'al atsemer. So if you want to remove the dye from the wool, that you can do with the boris. But hashava lo avid.
The dye is gone.
The dye is gone. Like, who are you fooling over here? This whole fictitious vision of paying somebody to salvage the tseva and return the tseva, it's just a fiction, it's a figment of your imagination.
Right.
Oh, so now what happens? Now at this point, the Gemara holds that Mimarashach the Gazan has to pay. There's no suffering. Why? If I hold that what that Ein Shvach, some Ein Shvach someone in Bitzemer, as we said before, pay for the Hefzeh. And even if I hold Yeshvach someone in this, and the tseva is still considered be'en, but if it's be'en and it's inaccessible, because there's no way, no how that you can reclaim that, it's already a scrambled egg, as Michael calls it, then if that be the case, then again we're back to Hefzeh. And if we're insisting that the Mechayev of Gazlan is Hefzeh, then he's going to have to pay. And we go back to the five Zuzim, of the someone that they were worth the time of the thing. All right, Rabosai, here we have a Gilyon HaShas. You see it? You have it? I don't know if Rosh Steinzel has it, but it's Rabbi Kiveger.
Yeah.
Now you may notice that this is probably the longest Rabbi Kiveger in Shas. It goes from here all the way down here, and in very small print. So I can't go through the whole Rabbi Kiveger with you, but I want to just give you a little bit of a flavor of what he says. He says the following. Kasha, I don't understand. Im nechshavim ha-samemonim be'en. At this point, the Gemara thinks that the samemonim are still intact, right? Because we're holding now yesh shvach samemonim. He says, yachal lo marlo. Why can't he say to him, tol es ha-tzemer shali. Take my tzemer. He says, if you were to tell me that the samamonim are not the end, they're gone, okay, so then the Gemara's premise is very correct. Let him pay the five zuzim, or the value of the, what you call it, of the samamonim. But if on the other hand, we're holding now, at this point in the Gemara, the yeshvach samamonim, if that be the case, then the samamonim are the end. And what, you can't extract it. Says Rabbi Kiveger, so what do you do in the following case? When the Chayfetz HaNigzal is be'en, and therefore he has to return it, but there's no way he can extract it. Can imagine the following scenario. Let's say I stole Chas Shalom a pearl, right? And the pearl is now inside an, what's it called, an oyster or something? And let's say the oyster is so large or so dangerous that there's no way I can open the mouth of the oyster, right? So what do I do in that case? Says Rabbi Kivega, I give you the oyster. Interesting cop.
And compensate him for the wool?
No, compensate him not for the wool, but I give you the wool, and if I compensate you for the for the salmon, yeah, why? Because the salmon are in the wool.
The wool is much more valuable.
But the whole thing is worth more than the original.
That's right. So you've got to repay him.
You repay the robber.
That's an interesting question, whether the robber would get some sort of compensation. I don't know. Rabbi Kivega doesn't go into that question. I would submit to you that probably the Gazan has no leg to stand on here, because it's the Gazlan's problem. Since we're holding Yeshvach, meaning it's still Be'en, and he has to return it, if the only way under the sky that he can return it is by giving a whole Ganze Tzemer, that's his problem. I don't know if he could build the Nigzal for the Tzemer, but again, that's a secondary issue. The primary issue here, I think, that Rebbe Kivega is focusing our attention on is that what does the Halacha say? How does the Halacha address the following scenario? It's a very paradoxical, sensitive scenario. The Gazlan has the Chefetz. It's intact. He's chayev an hashava. But there's no way he can give it physically to the nigzal. Says the Gazlan. I mean, says Rabbi Kivega, tough buddies, Mr. Gazlan. You stole it. It's now absorbed in your tzemer. Give the whole Gazlan tzemer. I thought that's a fascinating question. Rabbi Kivega doesn't have an answer to this question.
Why doesn't he ask better? Why doesn't he say that the nigzal has a right even b'kocho to commentate it?
Could be. That's also true. But again, we're now focusing on the chiyuv hashava, right? The Gemara says hashava lo avid. He can't do hashava because he can't extract the thing. So again, you can't extract the thing. So give him the tzemer. Again, I could only say this, says Rabbi Kivega, if I hold yeshvach tzemer, yeshvach seva, or samavonin v'tzemer. Ella says the Gemara, we've now come to the conclusion that mimonavshach, no matter what side you say, the Gazan has to pay for the hefzeh. So what was the suffix in the yeshiva? Kegon de gazal tzemer v'samamonim dechad. Ah, now the Gemara says, what did the Gazan steal? Not just samamonim, but he also stole tzemer.
From the same person?
From the same person. Okay, later on we're going to have it from two people. The Gemara is going to go through every possible scenario. So he stole him from both from one person. V'tzave lahu tzemer b'harach samamonim. So this is very cool, because he took two objects from the Nigzal and he combined them, right? He took the Samamonim and the Tzeva, the Nigzal, and he used it to dye the very same person, the very same victim of the crime of Xela's Tzeva. Oh. V'komahadele niale l'tzeva. What does he have to return now? Okay. That's unquestionable. The tzemer, right? No one has an issue about that, I hope. Are we all on the same team here? The tzemer, for sure, he has to return. Oh. So what's the Gemara's suffix? Yeshvach samonim al gabi tzemer. Do we view the samonim as if they're intact? They still exist in the world at the end. Become a hadolei samonim and tzemer. Is when Bailey's returning both the samonim and the tzemer. Again, if the Nigzal wants to separate the Samamonim and get the Tzemer back, that's his problem. But right now, the Tzemer itself is hosting, I keep coming back to that term, the Tzemer. So if the Tzemer is hosting the Tzemer, hosting the Tzemer, so then take it and run with it. Which, by the way, is not so terrible from the Nigzal's position, because
it depends,
right? That's going to be the next sugya. What's the part of value? But let's assume, Rabosa, before the Gemara messes us up in a minute, that if you have tzemer that's worth 10 and dye is worth 3, but the total combination is worth 15, so, you know, let the Nigzal be happy.
As long as he wanted to use the dye on something else.
Yeah. Okay, that could be interesting, but that the Gemara is going to say if the market value of dyed wool goes down. But right now the Gemara thinks that the market value of dyed wool goes up. Oh, Dilma, what's the other side in the Gemara? Ein shvach samamon val gabi tzemer, the dye is gone. If the dye is gone, it doesn't exist. So what hashava, what kiyum hashava did the Nigzal fulfill? Only on the tzemer. Is tzemer mahadi lay samamon lo mahadi lay? He hasn't fulfilled his... In other words, the Gemara is saying something beautiful. What the Gemara is saying is the chiyuv hashava is a double chiyuv hashava. There are two heftes that were stolen. He stole both samamonim and what? and seven. Each one is machayev hashava. No, so what is he doing? He's giving back seven. He hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv hashava on the seven. Okay, then Rabbi Osag, we'll pick it up in Mitzvah Shem the next time. I wish everyone a great Shabbos.